I've got a hangover. Who knows what that means?
Doesn't that mean you're drunk?
No. It means I was drunk yesterday.
Let's play.
Ruh-roh. No, we're not homosexual, but we are willing to learn.
That's some sick shit right there, man. And you want to comb your ass hair for you, too?
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
Shut your pie hole. We're working here. When I came home
last night. Welcome to Big Foamy Head, the chicken and beer show.
We aren't chicken to drink any beer that's put in front of us.
Amen.
That's one reason why we're not chicken. And we got a beer that we're going to try later. Actually, two of them that are apparently rather unknown to the faithful readers of Beer Advocate, because there's no reviews on either of these beers, and one of them is called Chicken Killer. And Rick's not chicken to brave travel, and he's out in the wilds of Wisconsin, right?
That's right. I'm getting ready to go to the Great Taste of the Midwest, and I'm at a bar called Alchemy right now.
Where they turn...
Alchemy, huh?
Where they turn drunks into beer or beer into drunks. And
probably a little of both.
Yeah.
Indeed.
So what's the bar? So you said it's kind of dead there?
It is right now.
And
Maybe everybody's saving some liver for Saturday.
It sounds a little quiet.
Yeah. So Mike was questioning you earlier about the lack of facial or body hair on the women there, and you report it is relatively hairless.
Hairless, right.
Okay, good.
Good.
Always a good thing. But, you know, the more you drink, the better they look, right?
Right.
And They're called beer goggles.
I'm assuming that your wife did not accompany you on this latest beer trip of yours?
No, she didn't. I was surprised because this is her homeland, you know?
I know. Well, you've had, though, this is like the third thing in a row over this past 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, I know. I've been going a little nuts.
What have you...
But it's not my fault. I didn't schedule this stuff. It just came up. You know?
Well, recap for us where you've been, what you've been doing.
Okay, our homebrew club, Croc, went on a camping trip, the annual Croc Camp Out. And that was Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Then Sunday, I came back from the camp out and went to Avery's 15th anniversary party and got hammered. Then today I flew out and to Madison for the Great Taste of the Midwest.
Let's go back to the hammered part where you ended up on a bus. And
yeah, we need to elaborate on the hammered.
Well, it started with a vertical tasting of five of Avery's smaller beers, you know, up to the Beast, which is 16%. So there were 2 ounce samples times 15. You know, to start with, and then it was unlimited drinking for a few hours after that. Well, so after the event, I was watching people get on the bus and go on downtown to Pearl Street, and I said, that sounds like a great idea, realizing that I knew my wife was coming to pick me up. So don't ask me why I did it. I just got on the bus and went for a ride.
Then your wife didn't know where to find you?
Right, and is very unhappy. So I've been in the doghouse officially for a week now.
And what happened the day before on the camping trip?
Oh, that's right. She was coming up for dinner, and she couldn't find a campsite because I was out of cell phone reach and wasn't able to give her the actual campgrounds or the campsite. So she spent about 2 hours driving around the mountains. Yeah.
Oh, man.
So you've been drunk, pissed your wife off multiple days in a row, and now you're leaving.
Yeah. That brings a new meaning to the term. She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes.
Yeah, she's gonna be waiting on you when you get back. You got all kinds of makeup.
I bought her a dozen roses already, so.
Well, that was nice.
How'd that work?
Maybe I'll get her a gift, too. How's that?
Yeah.
Yeah, like a car or something.
Yeah, bring her back some of the beers that you've tasted.
Yeah, there you go.
That'll go over like a fart in church.
Well, so what are you drinking now to kick off the show? What's your warm-up beer?
I'm drinking the Ale Asylum Scotch Ale on the Firkin.
On the Firkin bar, in the Firkin glass. Give me another Firkin beer. Now, Ale Asylum, I always liked them. They are, they got shit for bottle art, you know, very generic, but they crank out some really tasty beverages. Mm-hmm. So how's this one going down?
It's pretty good. It's a little rich for me at the moment. I'm looking forward to having the Hopalicious on tap, though. That's looking really good.
Hopalicious. Okay, well, that will jive just right with the lineup we've got. We're starting off with the Rejuvenator. Oh, I'm sorry, are we interrupting your order? Go right
that's
ahead.
Okay. They don't have Hopalicious.
Yeah, we'll wait.
So okay. I'm going to get the Two Brothers Cain and Abel Red Rye.
Oh, okay. That sounds pretty interesting. Well, we're having the Rejuvenator from Hebrew.
Hebrew.
And the Chosen Beer, L'chaim, from Schmaltz, Jeremy Cohen. And we they always do some fun beers. This one's really interesting. And I got the press release here. It says Doppelbach Schmappelbach, Hebrew beer pitched the yeast of the monks. This is Rejuvenator, the Hebrew beer's latest addition to their sacred fruit-infused lineup, and it's infused with fig. Rejuvenator ferments nearly 500 gallons of fig juice into a half Doppelbach, half Belgian-inspired double hybrid lager ale. So half of this was lager, half of this was ale, blended with fig juice, bottled up, and to finish this. This is one crazy beer.
You know what I bet happened? I bet they did the Bock and Doppelbock, and they go, man, this just doesn't taste right. Let's throw some fig juice in and see how that turns out.
I figured it was like a brewery accident. Two forklifts ran into each other.
But
you know,
it's damn good.
It's a very tasty, interesting beverage. There's not a lot of hop presence.
Mm-hmm.
And the fig juice, you'd be hard-pressed to say there was any fruit in it if somebody asked you. But it's got that kind of hearty, fruity, you know how figs are. They're not the sweetest things, but they've got that just kind of smoothness. And
you can kind of tell where the sweet and the hop are kind of battling each other a little bit.
Yeah, it's just enough hops to keep it interesting, but it's not, you wouldn't think there's a hoppy beer.
Mm-mm.
It's good. It's a good drinking beer.
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting, this combination of ale and lager, because it finishes clean, right?
Damn, it's 7.8 alcohol, too.
Yeah, you would not know that drinking this beer. This is it's a very tasty beverage. In the Schmaltz brewery continues to impress. They're just some interesting folks there. We met Jeremy Cohen that one time at the GABF, and hopefully we'll run into him again. He just does some good stuff, and always a pleasure to have the anything from Schmaltz. And Rejuvenator, limited edition, fig-infused harvest to harvest, which I'm not sure what that means. It's a chosen seasonal. But at least this beer is in the right season.
Mm-hmm.
We got another one coming up where we're completely screwed this season. So, Rick, what's on the menu there? Are you eating?
I did not look. I had some homemade fish with deep battered fried and some fried zucchinis and just a massive feast for my brother-in-law, who's quite the fisherman.
Oh, okay. So, was this
in Wisconsin? You want to eat the fish?
Yeah,
the fish was homemade. How do you make a fish?
Well, first you get two fishes. You hold them together.
You take a little boy fish and a little girl fish, and you put them together.
Okay.
And rub them.
Oh man.
Well. Fish and was it fishes and loaves or the staple foods of the chosen people? I'm bringing it back to the Jewish beer because one of Memphis's own most favored Jews, Senator Steve Cohen, or is he Congressman Steve Cohen? I forget what he is.
Senator, I think.
Senator. We love this
There's
guy.
A Congress.
We love this guy. I don't know about you, Mike. I do.
I think
he's a great, he's a great guy.
Yeah.
Everybody likes him. But he was in the news, Rick. You know who I'm talking about, Steve Cohen. He's been involved in a lot of national issues. I don't know if listeners outside of Memphis recognize his name, but here in Memphis, we really like him because he did a number of things. He's tried to legalize gambling, hadn't had too much luck with that, but he did get a state lottery, which now pays for half of our children's college education. And since I got a kid in college, I'm appreciative of that, right? And he's just a great guy, real accessible. Okay, so today is the elections.
Yeah.
And Mike,
he's a congressman.
He is a congressman. Yeah. Okay, he was a senator before.
Right.
Then he ran
for
Congress. Okay.
And you know they had him on the news today, and he said, "Hey, look, I brought $40 million into my district."
Yep.
And he said, "How is a freshman going to do that?"
Freshman. Yeah, this chick running against him
would be a freshman, and there's no way she can match that.
And of course, we left out the most interesting part. Congressman Steve is a Jewish, a white fellow, and he's representing a predominantly black district.
It's not predominantly; it is a black district. Yeah,
but the thing is, though, they love the guy.
Yeah,
and with good reason. He's a very popular guy. Well, he has this black chick running against him, and she is playing race card left, right, up, and down. Accused him of being in the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah,
lest we forget, he's Jewish. I mean, it's just crazy stuff. Okay, but it took a hard left turn for the weird yesterday. Uh-huh. Mike, I don't know if you saw this. Steve Cohen was sitting in his living room preparing to do a press conference. Channel 13, one of the local channels, was in there.
Yeah.
And he's there, he's getting ready, and all of a sudden, it was like a switch was thrown. And he gets up, and he's just, like, instantly pissed. He said, get that guy out here. And he goes up, and he's, like, shoving this guy. And they got it all
He's a cameraman. He's got a camera on his shoulder.
Yeah, but it wasn't one of the news cameramen.
No. Hmm.
The news guys are filming all of this. So it's like this guy apparently pushed every single button Steve Cohen has. He shoves the guy out, and the cameraman said, "What about my tripod?" And he's telling some guy, "Just take it out back and throw it at him."
Yeah.
Well, as it turns out, and this is real, just real weird, and I'm sure that chick running against him was wishing she could use it. This guy, Rick, was an Armenian doing an independent filmmaker doing a documentary about the refusal, apparently, of the United States to recognize the genocide and Holocaust of Armenians by Turkey in 1915.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I knew about this. I'd read on it, and I thought it was kind of interesting because when people say Holocaust, it's like, well, that was actually the second one, right? So, getting busy over there, isn't it?
That is.
Hey, Rick.
Yeah, I can barely hear you guys.
Well, okay.
What happened over there? Did they get a band crank up or something?
No, I don't think so. I've been unmuting myself.
Well, here's what happened, though, to wind it up. This Armenian filmmaker comes in because Steve Cohen was one of the congressmen voting against recognizing the Holocaust, recognizing the Armenian Holocaust and condemning Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was joined together, right? It's not that anybody doesn't recognize the Armenian Holocaust, and you can look it up and read all about it. Basically, they destroyed, there is no more Armenia.
Mm-hmm.
They wiped it out. And this is the Turks. But it's in 1915, and it's kind of like a real sore spot. And so the U.S. was not going to get in. They didn't have a dog in that fight. They weren't going to get into it. Congressman Steve didn't sign off on it. And this guy shows up, and he's like scared shitless because apparently there's a series of murders by the Armenians back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And so he saw this guy like lurking around. The guy walked into his house and stuff. The cops showed up. So it's a big deal. That's what's going on. It'll be real interesting to see if night before the election if this craziness affects him. So. That's it for political news from the Memphis front. Always some crazy shit going on here, right?
Well, hey, Rick, they had more news about our Bass Pro Shop.
Did he win the fight? Is the question.
Yeah, he shoved him out the door.
Yeah, he did. It's all on tape.
Yeah, it's probably on YouTube by now.
I mean, the thing is, you know, congressmen and are professionals in front of a camera, right? That's what I'm saying. This guy,
he lost it.
He lost it. Mm. And if you've ever met the guy, hell, you can look at him and tell he is the coolest guy.
Yeah.
Never have I ever seen him do like this. And he just, he lost
it. You know, he's kind
it.
Of a geeky looking dude, wears glasses, and he's not he real is. Big. And
he's a pretty mellow yeah. guy, too. Yeah. I mean, I've talked to him before. I've known him for years and just, you know, this or that or the other.
You know, some politicians get real excited and their voice is up and they get it when they're talking about passionate things.
Yeah.
This guy's pretty monotone, level-headed, never gets excited. Yeah. It was definitely different to see him in that light.
Nobody's ever seen this, and everybody's going like, what the hell?
Yeah. You know,
but the cool thing is, everybody's on Steve's side.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. Anyway. All right, so, Rick, you got your...
Pretty amazing.
And you know who we're talking about, and, you know, anybody wants to know, that's really... if you count the number of people we can actually be proud of and point out and say, oh, yeah, that's our boy, you only
right.
need...
He wanted to make the pyramid into an Indian gaming... casino, right?
Yeah, he's all about the game, about getting us some money, some revenue,
getting
us something.
He knows that you can't tax your people to death on property taxes.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to have some income and some businesses bringing revenue in, and you can't live on property taxes. Just can't do it.
No, you can't. And it's ridiculous because they're surrounded by gambling.
Yeah.
So why not, right? So we're going to gamble on another beer here in a minute. Rick, you got your order in. You waiting on your red rye?
I am drinking on my Two Brothers Cain and Abel red rye, and it's damn good. It's from Warrenville, Illinois.
Well, we have
got... I can give you more specs, but all I have is a price.
Okay, well, we'll see. I'll tell you what. During the break, we'll look it up and see if we can't get some specs, because we're about to leave the promised land and go down to see us some hops and the world of IPA. So I've been talking about chickens, and I got all of the music on this show is from Memphis' own. Recently, a few years ago, departed Rufus Thomas, and this is one. If you hadn't heard it, you know, get up. You can't help. Even white people can dance to this. Funky Chicken.
Show you. Now y'all heard of the popcorn, y'all heard of the dog, and you heard about all of them other dances. But now there's a brand new dance that's going around. I want to show you exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the funky chicken. Y'all ready? I say y'all ready. Okay, here we go. You raise the left arm up. Right on too. Let me tell you just what to do. Start boom on the flapping. Start the feet to kicking. That's when you know you're doing the funky chicken. Second spasm. You put both arms up across your face, your knees start wiggling all over the place. You flap your arms and your feet start kicking. Then you know you're doing the funky chicken. Oh, hey, hey. Oh, I'm feeling it now. I feel so unnecessary. This is the kind of stuff to make you feel like you want to do something nasty. Like waste some chicken gravy on your white shirt. Right down front. Here we go, y'all. You work both arms
and you went both feet. You together, baby, you run on the beat. You flap your arms and your feet start kicking. Then you know you're doing the funky chicken. Oh, it's all right. Do the funky chicken now. 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 Ha ha ha. 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 Oh oh. Do the funky chicken now. Oh oh. Do the funky chicken now.
Surely, you've heard that song before.
Surely, you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Hey, man, Shirley ain't working.
All right. So that was Rufus Thomas, Memphis' own legendary Rufus Thomas. I'll tell you what, that guy, man. Okay, there's two things he was known for. One, he was old as dirt.
Yeah.
I mean, he was old when he started, right? Way the sure. hell back. And the other thing, you remember the other thing he's known for? Wearing hot pants.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That man would never come on stage without, he had like this little silk suit and like little tiny shorts and knee highs, and that was his gig.
Man, do you know where he was born?
Here, I assume.
He was born in Casey, Mississippi. It's just right
down
the road.
Okay, right down the road.
Yeah.
But he was raised here and lived here in Memphis.
Yeah.
So, Rufus Thomas he's just like a super cool.
I thought he was like a Detroit person that moved into Memphis and became famous. I didn't realize he was born in this area.
I think they're coming after Rick.
They are. What? Rick, what do you got going on in the bar there, man?
I don't know. I can't hear anything.
It's just getting real loud all of a sudden.
All right. It's probably Skype bugging out on us.
Okay.
We might want to wrap up my segment pretty quick.
All right. Well, you stick with it. It's better now. We thought the angry mob was after you.
We thought you were getting mobbed and going to have to be thrown out or something.
So,
super quiet.
Yeah, well, it got a little loud on this end. But Rufus would get a little loud, too, man. It was cool. I saw him, like, shortly before he died. He did a free concert on Beale Street. And this is when he's like 70-something years old, and he's still just like wearing it out. And, you know, that all of his songs, you were talking about that earlier, Mike, he was kind of a pioneer of the dance songs, right? So, like, nowadays, you know, like, what, Cupid Shuffle and Soulja Boy and things like that, man, they owe all of that to Rufus Thomas. If you go and look up Rufus Thomas on eMusic or something, or Stax Profiles, almost every song is a dance tune. So
said he ran a Beale Street amateur show for years, and he actually discovered B.B. King, Bobby Bland, and Little Junior Parker.
Oh yeah,
I didn't know that. Yeah.
Now he's a pioneer. He was also a disc jockey, I believe, on God, what is the one? The downtown WLOK.
Okay.
Right? One of the oldest African American radio stations in the United States. And so he's a cool guy, and Memphis definitely misses him. And there's a statue of him downtown, which we're going to go and look at when Friend of Show comes all the way from Australasia.
Brother Joe.
That's right. Our friend Joe Galea is going to be showing up, and we're going to have him on the next show, and that's going to be real cool. I think we will have a podcast record of Friend of Show traveling longest distance. He's from Australia, so all your other beer podcasts,
forget it. You
can just suck it.
We got friends.
We got friends all over the world.
Hey, I'm sitting here on this site, and it's got that they were in, he was started up a vaudeville band that toured in 1935.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I told you he's old as dirt.
He is, man.
He was like 115 when he died.
Unbelievable. So. Unbelievable.
Yeah, he's a hard working man. He'd give James Brown a run for his money any day. So we started drinking our next beers, and Mike, didn't you have some specs on Rick's Cain and Abel?
Yes, I did.
Red something or other?
Yeah, it shows Two Brothers Brewing Company out of Illinois. And you notice I did not say Illinois. In the United States. Style is a rye beer, a 7% ABV. excuse me. There's some reviews on here. It says a clear caramel red color with a big light tan head that slowly recedes, leaving big rings of lacing down the glass. Medium size CO2 bubbles rise up to support the crowning head. No complaints here. Smell is IPA-like. This rye beer is heavily hopped and at 7% is verging on DIPA territory. So American hops dominate. I can't really smell the spicy rye on this one. What about you, Rick? Did you notice any rye?
I noticed it was pretty damn hoppy when I first tried it. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of rye. It's got a nice red color.
Did you get that kind of nut sort of flavor that rye gives?
I don't know that rye gives a nut flavor, but...
I said nut. It's like this kind of earthy kind of taste that you get with rye.
Maybe he meant nut and honey.
Nut and honey? No. It's kind of, to me, it's kind of nut-like. It's like whenever I have one of those rye beers, it has that kind of, like there's something in there, seeds and nuts, not grain, right? All right, so you got a bunch
okay,
of...
But, Mike, at 7%, you think I should have, what, 3 or 4 of them?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, with the way... just to keep your liver in shape.
You got after a designated driver?
After the ass-whipping you gave your liver over the last couple of weeks, I mean, you know, no pain, no gain. Don't give that bitch a break.
It says it's pretty bitter. Is it very bitter?
No, it's a very nice beer.
Okay, good.
My liver is training for the Olympics.
Yeah, there you go.
That's right.
It's got to fight the smog in Hong Kong.
Beijing. Yeah,
hops are good to combat the effects of pollution in the blood.
That's right. And smog in the air, what possible harm could that do to any athlete, right?
Yep. And speaking of hops, we just opened up our little second beer.
It's eat up with hops. I'm getting that kind of pine. Yeah. Whack. And you told me earlier you had it and you said, well, it wasn't that much.
I really don't think it is that much.
It's got some definite twang.
But it's got a lot of malt kick behind it too, to me anyway.
Yeah, it does. It doesn't finish as hoppy as when you're first drinking it.
Yeah.
It's the Mendocino Winter Seasonal Imperial IPA, because what else would you want in the death heat of Memphis in August?
You know, we got 3 inches of snow on the ground here in Memphis, Tennessee. Right. It's always snowing in Fraser.
Yeah, that's right. And hey, lest we forget, what happens next week?
What happens next week?
On August 12th, it's Dead Week.
Oh, Elvis Dead Week?
Elvis Dead Week.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
boy, it
man.
Snuck up on me again this
year. I know. You ain't got your tree up yet?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm gonna order that Elvis Presley chalk line.
Yeah, the chalk outline,
Is on the bath mat. You can order that bath mat. It has the Elvis Presley's chalk outline on it. I'm going to order one of those this year.
The commemorative dead Elvis bath mat. in exact detail where he fell. So the winter seasonal.
I forgot about having to put a tree up.
Yeah, that's right. You got to do your dead Elvis tree. So
no, I've never seen a dead Elvis tree. What does it look like?
Well, like Elvis. You can use a bush, whatever.
Lay along.
You gotta get your hedge clippers out and trim it. Make sure you got like a 3 foot high pompadour.
Put sunglasses on it.
There
sideburns.
You go.
Some banana sandwiches on there.
There you go. So the winter seasonal Imperial IPA from Mendocino that we're drinking. It says our winter seasonal has been delicately crafted for those crisp, cool days or blistering death heat of triple digits here in Memphis.
Hey, we had a cold front come through today.
This is a great
beer.
It dropped down to 80-something, right?
Yeah.
So this Imperial India Pale Ale can slake some of that want. A robust, full-bodied IPA brewed with massive amounts of hops and paired with a rich blend of luscious malts. I think that's a pretty good description.
Very good.
Result? A perfect balance of heady hop flavor and aroma. At 7.5% ABV, this India Pale Ale is the perfect winter seasonal. I have never thought of an IPA as a winter seasonal.
And, I mean, this would go good in the winter, but I like it in the summer.
I like
too.
It right now.
Yeah, I do
That's
too.
Very good. And this is towards, to me, it's starting to gravitate towards the piney side of the hops, just a hair. Uh-huh. I don't get so much citrus like some of the ones we've had.
Yeah, you definitely get the bitter pine.
It's a little bitter.
Yeah, tar pitch but whatever you want to call
finishes it. Finishes clean, very nice. And like you said, the malts balance it out really, really good. So, Rick, you still drinking on that red rye?
I am. I'm really eyeing up a Java Porter, though. Vanilla Java Porter.
Ooh, yum, right. Man. Who makes that one?
Atwater.
Atwater?
Atwater Block.
All right.
Where are they out of?
Rooster Pete, Oregon.
No,
really?
No.
Dead air. I'm going to say something.
Brum, bum. Hey, we're here nightly. Two shows nightly.
Detroit, Michigan. You're asking me all these questions, and it's on the card. I just keep putting the card down, and then you ask the next question. I got to find it again.
Now, the place you are drinking tonight, is it a brew pub or just a good beer bar?
It's just a good beer bar. It's where we're having a pre-party tomorrow. It's starting at 9, and they're going to do some special cake tappings, I think, from Founders.
Would that be like 9 in the morning?
Yeah, hell yeah. 9 at night is too late. This is about six hours of drinking past.
Tomorrow morning, I'm supposed to be taking a brewery tour with guys from Coonan's.
Was that 6 a.m., the brewery tour, and then Craig, the party starts at 9?
You got some Brew Bubba's joining you, too, don't you?
Yeah, I got Craig the Brew Bubba. He'll be with me, and actually, he got the invite. And so we're taking a little bus around. I think we're going to go out to New Glarus, Capitol, maybe Ellis Island. I don't know what all breweries we're going to hit, but
nice.
We've got to check them out.
Well, New Glarus, man, I hope you get some of their experimentals, the Unplugged. I still remember from a couple, 3 years ago, that Unplugged that they had. Oh, man. That's you're in the motherland for a really good beer, that's for sure.
Yeah, I was telling my brother-in-law that beer festivals are kind of getting watered down because they become really popular, so they're having them everywhere. But this is one of the oldest, and it's really worth the trip to come up to Madison to get all the Midwestern beers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You got Three Floyds, your Founders, your all the ones from Wisconsin, Michigan, Indiana. You know, there's some good beer out here.
See, it sucks because I don't get up in that part of the country, and they don't ship them down here, so it's kind of a pain in the ass. I'm going to have to get on a bird and head up there.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, baby.
It's worth the trip.
Well, of course, we do have, coming up, the GABF in October.
Yes, we do. And I am going to do my damnedest to be there.
That's going to be cool.
By hook or by crook.
Now, and before we get too far into our third beer, I think, want to once again remind everybody about the Pints for Prostates campaign. Our friend Rick like2drink.blogspot.com is spearheading this. There is a lot of information on his website about it, and it's a good deal. You know, you should really check it out. And then I think our friend Phil summed it up. He posted a comment on there about like it's $10, right? Mm-hmm. $10 is about the least you need, and it can, you know, go towards really saving something that's going to affect a lot of us. And I think, I believe it, guys, if you don't donate $10, it's like money in the bank. You're going to get prostate cancer.
Yeah.
It's pretty much guaranteed. So save yourself for $10.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do. All right. So we're gonna crack open our next beer here. And,
did you learn persuasive speaking in a Cracker Jack box? Or I mean,
what?
You're persuasive speaking. I don't know if that's a.
Am I not persuasive? Oh, because I said you'll get cancer if you don't contribute.
Yeah, I think that's a little stronger.
Is it a little harsh? You think?
Might be a little over the top.
Okay. He went to the Evelyn Wood persuasive
the
speaking
Evelyn
class.
Evelyn Woodhead Spad Redden course. Okay, so I need to dial it back a notch or two. Is that what you're
just
telling me?
Okay. How about donate or die?
Yeah.
Donate or we kill this puppy.
And no puppies are actually being used.
Okay. Well.
Nope. I just got my porter. Yum.
Sweet.
Mm.
Well, okay. I'll tell you what then, and because obviously I'm not fit to. to spread the word correctly, I'll just take Rick's press release. He says, I'm writing to you in the hopes you can help spread the news and reach more men with the message. In the next few days, the Pints of Prostate's landing page will be at www.us2.org/pints. One-stop location for information about how the drinks industry companies can get involved as sponsors and how men can get information on prostate cancer screening. And hoping that we will spread the news, and we are, because, you know, you're never too old to
do something good. I got a deal for you. Why don't we put a challenge out there to the other beer podcasters?
That sounds like a good plan. All right, so we're going to ante up right now, and we'll each of us contribute, and, yeah, throw down the glove, man. Come on, all you other beer podcasts, step up. And, of course, all you listeners, you know, play along with us at home. So, Rick, you're going to get your vanilla porter going, and we're going to get our next beer going. Let's take a minute, and we get some more Rufus Thomas going. This is a song that we were listening to earlier that everybody and their brother has covered. So we'll hit it one time, Walking the Dog.
In black, silver buttons all down her back. High low, tipsy toe. She broke a needle and she can't sew. Walking the dog, guess a walking bird dog. If you don't know how to do it, I'll show you how to walk the dog. See the elephant jump the fence. He jumped so high, he touched the sky. Never got back till the 4th of July. Walking the dog, just a walking bird dog. If you don't know how to do it, I'll show you how to walk the dog. Tell me, how does your garden grow? You got silver bells and you got cockle shells. Pretty maids all in a row. Walking bird dog, just a walking bird dog. If you don't know how to do it, show you how to walk the dog. Come on now, come on, come on.
So we're back. That was Walking the Dog. Aerosmith, Rolling Stones, anybody's, everybody's covered that song. And apparently Mike wants to cover this beer. He wants to.
I want a case of it.
He wants to own it, have children with it.
Yes, it's that dynamite, good. Man. And, it is good. Have you tasted yours yet?
No, I hadn't.
Do you smell it?
No,
it
tastes, I've been listening to you.
It tastes just like it smells. And you said you liked the way it smells.
Yeah, I do. I do. Yeah. And I'm looking at this thing. It's got like a 2 or 3 finger
pudding head.
You want a spoon. It's dense, thick, rocky. It's lacing its ass off.
It's
all
good.
Up and down the glass. It's got a little bit of chill haze.
Put your nose in there and smell
it. Oh, man. Yeah, the smell is like hops. And
it tastes exactly like it smells. I don't think I've ever had a beer do that before. Doesn't it taste just like it smells?
Yes, sir, it does. Yeah. Man, that's good.
It's good.
And this is one that doesn't have reviews. Enough reviews to rate on Beer Advocate. This is our...
I'm surprised. Is it fairly new?
I guess it must be. It's a Steamworks Imperial India IPA. Do you have that up?
Yeah, Hop Aboard, our steam team has done it again. Is that it?
Yep.
Hop Aboard and experience the three all-American hop varieties, Warrior, Tomahawk, and Simcoe.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Rick, we were talking about that earlier. The DeKoonins, right, that make the Simcoe Silly Beer, and I heard he was hooking up with them. I said, oh, you got to get some of that Simcoe. I love the damn Simcoe.
It says here, the team focused on the key attributes of each hop for the best interplay of aromatics and bitterness with the malt extraction. The result is a floral citrus nose, bold bitterness, and a hint of sweetness. Once again, the steam team is on time and on track. And I agree. It's great.
I think that is an accurate description. It's not bullshit. It's not marketing splooge.
8.5% alcohol, too. Mm-hmm. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah. IBU, 96, baby.
And it's not that bitter.
No. It's an excellent, like a little mouth wrestling.
Yeah,
it's
there
not,
you go.
It's not full mouth contact rest. Karate here. Little mouth wrestling. It grabs your uvula, swings around a little bit, bounces off your cheeks, and then does a reverse somersault down your throat. It's a very tasty beverage.
Pretty good beer.
Man, this is came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Came out of nowhere. A dark horse. An underdog, if you will.
Rick, as they say here in the South, you need to get you some of this, boy.
Yeah, man.
All right, so who made it and where is it out of again?
It's Steamworks Brewing Company. They're at 881 East 2nd Avenue. Rick, it's in Durango, Colorado.
Get out of here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I knew the name was familiar. I could see the icon or the logo.
Okay, your mission, should you decide to accept it, when you get back... You gotta hunt these guys down. This is a tasty beverage.
Very good. Very good.
It is a balanced Imperial IPA and
I love the way it
Rick,
smells.
It's close to Dogfish 90 status.
Yeah, true.
That's
yeah.
how good it is.
Now you know how I need to suck up to the wife. Maybe I can just say, okay, honey, we're taking a trip to Durango. You know the guy in art community down there.
Yeah, there you go. I'll be right back. Yeah.
And then as they're pulling away, the rear bumper's dragging the ground, you know, because it's got so much beer in the back.
Hey, speaking of art community, we haven't done a show since my very short vacation. Mm-hmm. And I talked to you.
Yeah.
I sent pictures to you, Rick, and to Mike.
I didn't get any pictures.
I sent you pictures. I went to New Orleans.
Uh-huh.
And enjoyed some quality beverages and some quality locations. So we were talking about how, like, you know, sometimes even shit beer is good if you're in the right spot.
Right.
And it was very cool. And I know, I think on this one, I didn't send you this particular one, but I sent it to Rick just to piss him off. Because I was sitting there, and it was just like an Abita beer, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm watching a jazz... blues band in the French Quarter, in the French Market, in an open air deal. So I'm literally outdoors with just like a little canopy over there, enjoying a beverage and watching these guys just wear it out. It was cool. And it's during the day, and I was getting my drink on.
Hell, no, Milwaukee would have tasted good in that situation.
Yeah, it would. And some cool bartenders. I mean, they were hooking me up and knocking me back a little drink here and there. And it was excellent. But the family and I went, and proud to report everything is back working in New Orleans. And we took the cable car all the way to the end of the line, which to – the Arts Fair. The end of every month on every Saturday, they have the New Orleans Arts Fair in, I believe it's called Pioneer Park. It's the end of the cable car line. That's what used to be in the French Quarter. And all these artists come out, and they had another, actually they had two bands there. And man, it was just great. And you wouldn't believe the food that they had there. And of course, we got our New Orleans on. I mean, we had po' boys, we had gumbo, etouffee, we had boudin, we had you name it. We were having oyster po' boys for breakfast. Man, it
now
was
here's
great.
What I like instead of complaining about New Orleans, you know, and having the government do things, you're actually going down there and spending your hard-earned money and helping them out. So
yeah, yeah. I am. I am. And we there's a lot to see. You know, it's like everybody goes to these destinations, and I can't really speak to other places where you go. And like some places like Orlando or Las Vegas, let's say, you got this one area that you go and everything outside is like, there ain't shit. New Orleans is not like that.
It's New Orleans got a lot going for it. It really does.
It really does. And every time we go, and we still did not see everything we wanted to see. We went to, and we've been there. I've lost track of how many times, right?
They got a great aquarium.
We went to the aquarium.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Beautiful aquarium.
They got lots of neat tours and lots of good stuff to do.
And it was very cool. And, of course, the thing I liked most was, like, walking up and down Decatur and really didn't get on to Bourbon. That's for the amateurs.
Yeah.
That's for the damn college kids. Go to the dive-ass bars
strip
and stuff.
Strip club. Yeah,
that
type thing.
There ain't nothing. I mean, Rick, that's for amateurs. You got to do it once.
Rick Strip Club. That's where you need to go if you want to see that type of stuff.
Rick Strip Club? Yeah. That's where the transvestites are, right?
No. I was going to claim credit for it, but now I won't.
Yeah. I wanted to head you down the wrong road.
Man, I think in New Orleans there are transvestites everywhere.
Yeah, there are. But Decatur, though, that's where I stay. And it's pretty cool. You walk far enough down, you get Jackson Square, Cafe du Monde, and farther down, the French Market. But see, we go the opposite direction. And we cross Canal Street, and that's where all the streets change names.
Mm-hmm.
Decatur becomes Magazine.
Yeah, Magazine's great.
And a block down is the St. James Hotel, also known as the St. James Infirmary of the Blues Song.
Uh-huh.
And, man, you just keep going on Magazine. It's stores, it's thrift shops, it's little
cool restaurants, art.
Yeah.
You name it. Antiques, Magazine.
Yeah.
I dropped my wife off on Magazine, and she just disappeared for
the whole
day.
Pick her up a couple miles down the road, right? Yeah. It's you cannot find the end of New Orleans. There's so much cool stuff there. And I think that's when we're talking about taking another road trip.
Mm-hmm.
We got so many road trips, but in the news.
It's time for Big Foamy Head Beer Witness News. The latest breaking, hop-hitting, no-holds-barred coverage of the malt and barley world. Sit back, crack a cold one, and get ready for...
Beer, it's your best friend, you drink a lot of it.
Beer News.
Clarksdale, Mississippi. Ground Zero Blues Club. Noted actor Morgan Freeman got caught with his hookup.
Got upside down in the woods.
That's right. He did. He got all kinds of upside down, tore his ass up. Morgan Freeman, 71 years old, was coming home from a hard night's work in Clarksdale with a friend.
That's a good way to put it.
It said it. Friend.
She's actually his publicist.
Oh, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah.
Okay. Desiree or something like that. Dorito.
There's a V in there.
Devira.
Something.
Obviously, we pay attention. Yeah. But Chickie.
She's a very attractive woman. She's only 44. 48. 48, something like that.
Okay. Well, he is 71.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, I've been
seeing. Thank God for Viagra.
I have been seeing Morgan Freeman lately. I've gone to see Batman.
Mm-hmm.
The newest one. I also saw Wanted, and he was excellent in that. Of course, Morgan Freeman is one of my favorite guys, you know.
Did you ever see The Bucket List?
I have not.
I have neither.
Well, anyway, Morgan.
Me neither.
Got into a car wreck, and apparently they flipped the car end over end, bumper over bumper. That's
right.
That's a hell of a
pretty serious. Don't slip at the wheel or something else.
And it was like a shit bucket, too.
I don't think
like
he had
bite
marks on his pecker, so that wasn't happening.
You don't think the 97 Nissan Maxima or something.
It was evidently, it's a pretty safe car. I mean, they both survived.
Yeah,
She was released the next day.
She was, and apparently he was in good spirits as the rescue unit. And of course, he wrecked right in front of dude's house who saw him wreck and called the rescue squad. They had to use the jaws of life. So it wrecked the car good.
Mm-hmm.
And they pull him out, and I forget Bill, some his partner in Ground Zero Blues Club in Clarksdale, Mississippi.
Lawyer.
Yeah, his lawyer slash partner
who's
slash
representing
friend,
him in his divorce. So.
Which came the day after.
Uh-huh.
That was the funniest damn thing. He says, oh, she's just a friend. And and the next day, CNN reports his wife, Myrna Colley Lee, which I don't get that. It's like, damn, how long have you been married? Like 30-something years, and you're still using this abbreviated last name that isn't Freeman?
From what I understand, she's been up in New York for a while.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Well, apparently this was the last straw, and so Morgan's getting his ass sued for divorce. He's in the hospital. He did elect to have surgery. Had a broken elbow, broken wrist, et cetera, et cetera. Go look it up here if you want to know the details. But it's just funny as hell. Yeah, he got so busted. Note to self, don't ever fuck up your car and have a wreck when riding with your girlfriend.
Right. And, Mike, you were saying it was just one of many, right?
Yeah, the report is there's three girls that he's been, and this is all hearsay, too, you know, so.
That's the best kind.
Yeah, it's called internet gossip, and if you read it on the internet, it's got to be true, right?
Yeah, it does.
So, supposedly, he's got three girlfriends, and, you know, my in-laws and stuff are from Charleston, Mississippi, and that's where his house is. It's just north of Clarksdale, a little community called Charleston. And, you know, so we hear all the gossip of what's going on. And this has been in the works. The divorce, I think, has been in the works for a while. And I think it was just timing, weird timing, to be honest with you.
See, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
But it was just so funny, though, that he gets caught with chick, he has a wreck.
Yeah.
And the next day,
bam,
filing for papers. That's funny as hell. He apparently didn't send some red roses to his wife.
And, you know, I was talking with one of my customers the other day, and he says, man,
that's important you do that.
Yeah.
That's right.
He goes, I hear you had, did you see where, down around Mississippi, and you're pretty close to Mississippi and Memphis. And, you know, he goes, I heard Morgan Freeman had a bad car wreck down there. And I said, yeah, I think he was out with one of his girlfriends and, girlfriends, and it just blew him away because he had so much respect for Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, I mean, everybody who knows Morgan Freeman from the films, you just don't think.
Yeah, he's like your granddaddy, you know, or something like
that.
Yeah,
he's a great guy and a great actor, et cetera. And hey, he was God.
Did
more
you,
than once.
Did you see the the movie Million Dollar Baby?
No.
I did see that. You need
to watch that.
I have heard that. That is a
great flick.
I missed, and I've
and
heard
Morgan,
nothing but
Morgan
good things.
Freeman played a great part in that movie, a great part.
Yeah. Well, he's a fantastic actor. Yeah. Shawshank Redemption.
And, you know, Barney Rubble, what an actor, man. I love him, too.
Barney Rubble.
He's great.
Well, I think that the pain and suffering that Morgan's going through will only enhance his acting. It'll give him more depth of character. Right?
That's right. We need to get him some really bad role to play. But
you know, when you wonder if all this stuff with his wife is Viagra related. You know, older guys and on Viagra, and they're trying to find somewhere to put it. And
speak for yourself.
You just wonder. I mean, what's they say that they're having troubles in these nursing homes with older guys chasing all the girls, and they got multiple girlfriends.
They're all Viagra'd up.
They're all Viagra'd up, man.
Cialis, all that. Get their horn on. Now, I'll tell you what, Rick, we're just like lapping up the Steamworks Imperial India. I mean,
this is giving me a hard on.
It's so good.
Man, it's good stuff.
This Atwater Block Vanilla Java Porter, it's giving me a hard.
Tell us about it, man.
Oh, man, it's good. It's got a real, initially it hits you with the Java, so you get that nice coffee flavor. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of underlying that is a little bit of vanilla, but it's a very good porter as a base. So, you know, you can't really make a good flavored porter until you have your base porter down perfect. So this is just an excellent beer.
All right, I was trying to whisper to Mike, but I'm sucking at it. Did you look that up? Did you get some specs on that?
Yeah, we did. It's a robust porter made with chocolate malt. It's blended vanilla and Java beans and balanced with U.S. golden hops. And it's 6.0 ABV.
Well, I was wondering, though, how much of that, you know, some people kind of shortcut it and, like, coffee it up. And so I was wondering, you know, you said you got a little taste of it. Is it like a balanced, it's a porter, but are you like getting a lot of coffee all the way through? Do you think it's from the malts or do you think it's from the actual adding in some coffee?
Coffee predominates. The Java's predominating. The vanilla is kind of an aftertaste. I would say that it's just a good base porter.
Yeah.
That they built upon. So.
But you know, we had a vanilla porter a while back, from Breckenridge, down the road from
Spencer's.
You're right. We had the James Spencer's too. But from a commercial brewer, the only one that I can recall that we had was the Breckenridge vanilla porter, and it really is the vanilla and the coffee a great blend for a porter. It just works.
Hey, Rick, I was reading a review on that beer, and he didn't review it very favorably. Said it missed the note or missed the mark on the nose, and then said it was pretty sour. You think you got a bad one or something?
You had to. How can you get a sour vanilla porter?
I don't know.
Oh, I know the guy that wrote that. Don't worry about him.
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
That asshole.
But say yours is pretty good, huh?
That was there on Rape Beer, right?
Is yeah.
The one you got?
Yeah, on Rape Beer.
That guy's a joker. What are you talking about?
Okay.
Well, we're gonna have to go to a fourth segment. We got one more beer.
I can dig it.
All right. So look, I'm gonna take a break, and this is our last Rufus Thomas song. And the two we've had before were kind of like dance tunes. Kind of, you know, you got that horns, that Memphis horn section pounding you. This is a little different. This is him literally singing the blues, and this is a stroll type. None of us are old enough to remember this, but they had this dance called the stroll. They'd kind of, you know, it's like kind of a walk, and any white child could do this. Mm-hmm. But, it is pretty cool. And this one, he doesn't shout, he sings. And this is Beale's Strolling on Beale. No,
I woke up this morning just as blue as I could be. Woke up this morning just as blue as I could be. I looked all around my bedroom, my old woman had cut out on me. So I started scrolling and drinking, rolling Beale Street up and down. Oh, 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 oh. Strolling Beale Street up and down. Oh, oh. I inquired about my baby, but now my mind could not be found. Coming with a smile, she said, I'm coming home to you, baby, coming home to my baby child. I'll never leave you. I know just how I feel. I'll forever be with you, baby, so you won't have to keep on strolling be.
That was Rufus Siblings. Okay, blowing my asses there. The pop filter's sucking. Okay, we're getting our chicken on. We got some Chicken Killer Barley Wine. Chicken Killer Barley Wine is the revolutionary beer that will someday define America's, here it comes, unique barley wine style.
I thought they were all unique.
They are all unique. What the hell? Okay, brewed with twice the ingredients of the Santa Fe Brewing Company's other beers and only half the usual amount of liquid is extracted from these ingredients. It makes one substantial beer at over, drum roll please, 10% alcohol. Chicken Killer is actually as substantial as wine, but this is not to say that it's difficult to drink. On the contrary, be careful with this one. The flavors of the beer, first overwhelming is the intense Santa Fe sun, but in the same way our sun gives us the unrivaled brilliant colors of Santa Fe, the potency of Chicken Killer gives us a remarkable spectrum of flavors and we found a... Okay, bullshit. I mean, they're going on and on about splooging like crazy about how good this is.
Some marketing guy earned his money on that.
Yeah, it is. The starting gravity, 22.5 degrees Plato, ending 4.5 malts, 2 row pale, 30 to 37 Karastan, 135 to 165 crystal, hops, my boy Chinook, Hallertau, and of course the ever popular crystal yeast, house ale, chicken into his house, and we're drinking our 10% alcohol. So, Mike, what do you think?
Let me take a sip.
It's some Chicken Killer. It'll kill your damn chicken.
Mmm, tastes like chicken.
It does. Now, it's a pretty, it's kind of bready.
It's thick.
Yeasty, muffin-y sort of.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's pretty good.
It's good. Yeah. But it's like drinking a muffin.
Drinking a muffin. Yeah.
I'm not getting 10% alcohol at all.
This one
screw you.
Yeah.
Take your money and run.
Yeah, this one would mess you up.
And Rick's fighting off the angry mob.
We could have a an advertising marketing group, and Dick, you ought to be reading copy for beer writers.
You think?
Yeah.
You think? Hillbilly copy reader?
I think so. Oh, yeah. You bring it to life.
I try. Hey, you know what? I want to say throw a shout out, speaking of bringing it to life, to a friend of the show, C. Ames, for making us go to the Wayback Machine. This guy, he's like a little late on coming back and giving us, throwing us some props for our Big Thummy Head Interpretive Dance Theater recent debuts, theatrical presentations. But he remembered the chili cook-off. And Rick had to go look it up. That was, Rick, you remember what number it was?
Show
44. Show 44, which, as of this show, 117.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was like 70-something shows
ago. How many beers ago?
Oh, my God. It is like, damn, that guy, we need to like send him a check. That was cool. And we were like trading emails back and forth. It was like, damn. That's a long time ago. So I've been looking for some more scripts. We got to do some more. Rick's got to get busy with his creative muse and write some more, and come up with some more stuff. I think that's going to be our niche. We're the drama queens.
I'm there. I'm all over that.
You are. I mean, anybody knows Rick knows he is a drama queen, as you are, Mike, and as am I. So.
But I ain't wearing the damn dress, okay?
No, you're not. Not again. Oh, no. We'll take turns wearing the dress. One of us got to play the chick.
Speaking of chicks, Rick, what are you drinking out there?
I am working on a screenplay right now.
Are you? My life as a boozy.
It was the tech support joke.
My life is a boozy. I love that. I think I'll make a website. My life is a boozy.
That was a homage to our friend Phil. My life is a foodie.
Yes.
Look it up.
Great website.
Hey, I'll tell you what, though. In the It's a Small Damn World apartment.
After all.
And Rick, I don't know if I told you this, but I'm doing a gig for one of the local distributors putting their website together. And it's MemphisBeersAndWines.com. Please, all you listeners, go check it out. The interesting thing was we got this deal going where you can win a keg party. Of course, you have to be within the Memphis, Mid-South area, distribution area of Southwestern. Sorry to tell you that. But I needed a face and a voice to do a promo for this. So I asked our friend Phil from My Life as a Foodie to do this. And, man, did he come through. He sent me two quality ads. I put him up there. And the guy who runs the distributorship is watching. He says, man, this is really a great ad. I said, yeah, that's Phil. He does a show, podcast, mm-hmm. My Life as a Foodie. He goes, oh, shit, I listened to that.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, what are the odds, right? So it was just cool that one of Phil's fans was the boss.
Yeah. That's like sore dick. You can't beat it.
There it is right there. It's been too long. Mike had to bring that chestnut out, baby.
You were asking what I was drinking. I'm drinking the Lake Louie APA.
You got any stats on that?
Well, I went to the Lake Louie website. I don't see their Lake Louie IPA or APA.
Now, I've heard that this I've heard that this beer is made from the waters of Lake Louie itself.
I've heard of hocking up a Louie. Oh, no, that's a Loogie.
That's a Loogie.
Loogie.
Yeah. Louie, Loogie. How's it going down, Rick?
It's very good. It's a pretty smooth IPA.
Was it IPA or APA?
It's an APA by label, but it's not like your Stone Brewing. So maybe what it is they take an American Pale Ale and hop it up a little bit. I'm not sure, to be quite honest with you.
Now you went...
it's not a kick in the mouth type of hoppiness, so...
Okay, kind of like an easy drinker there.
Yeah. More of a session beer.
Now, how did... But you went from a vanilla porter and a lot of deep, intense flavors to an APA. How did that translate? Do you really think you're tasting the beer after all that intenseness?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I am. I've gone through half a pint, so I've had enough time to clear my palate.
Okay.
And I scraped my tongue and did a dance.
Did you do a little dance, make a little love, got down tonight?
Said some Hail Marys and wherefore art thou, brothers?
Spin around, click your heels three times, take a hit of Lake Louie APA?
Indeed, that's what I did. But anyway, yes, to go back to the Southwestern distributing thing, Phil knocked it out of the ballpark. The guy is such a talent.
Yeah, he really is. He really is. And he's got it all. Looks, personality, voice, etc. Oh, well.
And drama.
He, too, is a drama queen. Now, Phil's a good guy, and he really came through for me in a pinch, and I definitely appreciate it. And it just kind of sucks, though, that Southwestern distributorship is not nationwide because, fellas, I got to tell you, this is the promotion that all of you would want to be on.
Turn in a video, get a keg. I mean, people are going to submit a video. So
yeah.
I think the odds of winning are going to be really high.
Yeah, the first go live, and we're going to launch. Actually, we did a soft launch, and the site is active. It's MemphisBeersAndWines.com, and it's out there. We got a couple of little odds and ends that we got to fill out. You'll click on some dead pages, but man, I'll tell you what, this thing is going to go through the damn roof. They're going to market it like crazy. We've already got 20 people signed up for the beer club.
Cool.
We ain't even launched yet. I mean, people, awesome. Word of mouth is spreading for this. So it's going to be huge. And I just wish that they were McCain-like in their distributorship. And speaking of which, y'all heard anything more since InBev took over?
Mm-mm.
Been kind of quiet. Awful quiet on the horizon, right?
Mm-hmm.
The natives are restless. It's when the jungle drums go quiet.
Have you noticed anything? Have you looked at their stock or anything? I mean, what's it doing?
Speaking of jungle drums, it was nice to hear you mix in the Beer Safari promo last time.
Yeah, with Sly or whatever. Yeah, and
the Family Stone, yeah.
Now, was that AB who was doing the promotion?
It's either Margaret or AB or Sister Sly. I'm not sure.
Sister Sly, okay. Yeah, Sister Sly, and that was really good. And I guess, Rick, since you called it, do your pimping for Beer Safari.
It's a jungle of beer out there. Listen to beersafari.com.
See, there you go, right there. That's quality audio.
Yeah. Why would you, after you heard that, you would run to your desktop computer,
fire
that mother up, and go to junglesafari.com.
Or beersafari.com.
Or beersafari.com.
Either one.
All right, I have it slapped down.
Yeah. Well, now I noticed, though, I listened, and Groucho and Chud from the Beer Report were kind enough to provide this cool background music, and Rick, you were posted on the confrontation board. We're going to step up. We're going to do our own Beer Safari promo, and I don't know what it'll be, but we got to take it up a notch. The Sister Sly, that was for my money the best promo that they got out there. Although Jeffrey T was a close second, the Godfather of beer himself, the hardest working man in the hops and barley industry today.
He got his groove on.
He pimped out him some Beer Safari, and we got to step up. So we'll do one. We'll throw a little love at the Beer Safari. Be sure to check it out, beersafari.com. Got everybody who's anybody. If you're not on there, you're not shit.
That's right.
You shouldn't even have a podcast.
Nope.
If you're not on Beer Safari, you suck mightily.
Amen, brother.
And this Chicken Killer does not suck mightily. I'm loving this, but not as much. All right, Mike, Rick, beer of the night for you.
Ding, 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 ding,
ding, ding, ding. Loving him, some Steamworks Imperial IPA, and I got to go with him. That was the beer.
Yeah. You know this...
the Atwater Block Vanilla Java Porter, then.
You know, just hearing you talk about that beer, I figured that was going to be your favorite beer of the night.
I mean, just the name, Vanilla Porter.
Yeah.
How can you go wrong? You could, but really, you could. You could overdo it in any of the directions, but Rick, you were saying it's like a good balance of all of the flavors.
It's a little coffee forward, but it's still very good well balanced.
Man.
And you know, coffee beers are kind of tough to do because you can go one way or the other, but...
Oh, they can get bitter and harsh.
Yeah, and I just on homebrew, I've been wanting to do a porter or a vanilla porter or something like that, but I've always been really scared to do that. What do you think, Rick? Have you done any vanilla porters or any
the Borp,
coffee porters or anything like
the
that?
The Borp, which people speak in hushed tones.
I have not.
Hey, wait, the legend. The legend, the Borp, the bourbon oaked robust porter.
I've been a little leery about trying the vanilla beans and the coffee itself. I mean, I love coffee. I drink coffee all the time, but I'm afraid of killing the beer. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I did it once.
You really have to do in moderation.
Yeah, I did it once, and it was mixed results. It was way too foamy, and it just wasn't any good. Wasn't that good? I drank it, but it wasn't that good.
Well, you knew it had coffee in there, Dick. I mean,
I know.
There's no such thing as a bad beer.
Starbucks.
Yeah, there is.
Not when you're making one. They're all good. You know, they're all good.
That's true.
Some are better than others, but they're all good.
You're right. So, Mike's been cranking them out here lately, though. So, also, request from a listener for the panty dropper.
Oh, the panty dropper recipe?
Which was one you...
I got it from Johnny Max.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so we
got
to throw a little love to Johnny Max and the Beer Tribe. BeerTribe.com?
The recipe's pretty simple. If I remember correctly, it was like 10 pounds of honey, And the 10 cans of Welch's Grape Juice Concentrate, the large cans instead of the little bitty small ones.
Ferment in a clean toilet.
Yeah.
For
exactly. This you can is make it prison. In the back, you know, the back part of the toilet.
And if
the front
I'm not
part.
Mistaken, Johnny Max perfected this recipe when he was in
and when he was
time.
In prison. Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Well,
right.
Yeah, doing time. That's a right. better way
yeah.
to put it.
Yeah, it was.
Now,
paying
Johnny
his
Max
debt.
Be, yeah. Johnny Max would be the one podcast that doesn't suck because he's not on Beer Safari.
He needs to be on Beer Safari.
Yes, he does.
How have we let that slip through? All right, we'll rectify
things to work
that.
On next week.
We'll rectify that. But it's the Beer Tribe, and check them out, beertribe.com. And I guess right before the Angry Mob gets you again.
Too late. He's dead.
They snatched him up. They yanked his cord out.
Run like the wind, Rick. Run like the wind.
He's playing with the mute button. All right, we got to wrap it up, call it a show. We've had an awful lot of good beers, and I think we've got the consensus of Steamworks Imperial India Pale Ale out of Conductor Imperial IPA out of Durango, Colorado. I was going to say California, but that's a made-up state.
Yeah.
And the Chicken Killer, good stuff. That's weighed in at number two for me. Very tasty, 10%. Come on. And Rick had the vanilla porter.
Speaking of Rick, here he is.
Trying to do a little pub casting here, and it's not working so great.
Pub casting.
The band's setting up and they're moving tables. And,
all right.
You know how it goes.
You heard that. Rick just coined a new term.
Pub casting.
You own that. That is your word, pub casting.
Take it and have it copyrighted.
All right. What is it? Pubcasting, copyright 2008, bigfoamyhead.com. Rick Hagerbomber. The end. Pubcasting.
You the man.
All right. Well, let's wrap it up. Call it a show. Thanks for everybody being here. All the wonderful beers that we've had. Rufus Thomas, may he rest in peace. And see you next time.
Come back and see us.
Better listen to what I want to say, baby. Listen. If you want to be my woman, you can't run around. You gonna run around, woman. Stop, put my money down. I told you early this morning and late in the evening, too. I just don't know what in the hell I'm gonna do with you. If you're gonna be my woman, crossing the street. I fired four shots at that sucker. You should have seen him picking up his feet. If you're gonna be my woman, you can't run around. You're gonna run around, woman. Stop and put my money down. Right.
say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. If you don't straighten up, woman, I'm gonna beat your behind. If you gon' be my woman, you can't run around. You're gonna run around, woman. Stop and put my money down. Around and go back where you've been.